Well, this campaign season has seen the rise of candidates who are calling for total changes to the system versus making small adjustments. Donald Trump, of course, calling for repealing and replacing Obamacare, building a wall with Mexico, temporarily banning Muslims from entering the country. Bernie Sanders, though, also calling for an overhaul of healthcare and higher education and Wall Street. And they've both attracted a lot of support for those ideas. More enthusiastic support, perhaps, than calling for tinkering with or tweaking parts of existing systems. So why does the idea of a blank slate, ripping out the system root and branch, appeal to so many voters? Joining us now is Arye Kruglansky, a professor of psychology at the University of Maryland, College Park. Thanks for joining us.
Good to be here.
Well, why are voters drawn to that idea that you're better off just tearing things out and starting from scratch than tinkering with the existing systems?
The promise of a great change that will introduce sweeping alterations into the way things were is very appealing, especially if the existing system is uncertain and fraught with negative possibilities. Many people are suffering from economic uncertainties, living paycheck to paycheck, their American dream in shambles. Somebody who says, yes, I know that you're suffering and I'm going to correct all of that and make you happy. This is a very appealing prospect that people are attracted to.
But if in your own life you are considering making a change so that things are better for you, are you better off tearing everything out at the roots and starting fresh? Or are you better off just tweaking the things that are not working?
This is a very difficult question to answer. The important thing is the psychology of it. It's not whether it's in actuality good or bad, but psychologically it's very appealing to have this total makeover, a drastic change that will eliminate, sweep aside all that was bad and introduce something that is totally and purely good. You know, the outcome is uncertain in any case. It's the promises that are certain. The outcome, it's up to God and fate. We can talk about the psychology of it. We cannot talk about the objective benefits or costs of it.
Why, though, are we so drawn to that then? Why, if it's very difficult to tell if one would be better than the other, why are so many people drawn to the sweeping change?
The answer resides in a psychological concept called the need for cognitive closure. When uncertainty prevails, when bad things can happen, people have this need for cognitive closure that can be reduced only by immediate certainty. And certainty providers, such as leaders or anybody, a salesperson, a professor that provides certainty, is at great premium, at great advantage. And, you know, this need for closure has a variety of very interesting consequences. For example, it implies that people are ceding control to somebody else, to an autocratic leader. They are leery of examining things on their own because it's taking too long. It's taking too much effort.
It's too complicated.
Too complicated, exactly. Whereas somebody who gives you the answer is at an advantage. So, under those conditions, autocratic leaders emerge. There's a tendency to privilege one's in-group over the out-group, to adopt us versus them kind of terminology, and clear-cut categories of good versus bad, right versus wrong, winner versus losers are very appealing. And once the leader is bestowed with this epistemic authority of telling you what is right and what is wrong, he can do very little that is wrong. People explain away everything and just accept the answer that is so appealing to them.
And what about in our daily lives, not in the political arena, but in the rest of our lives, in business life, in personal life? How does this play out?
It plays out again in the quest for certainty, in the quest for clear-cut categories. For example, if you do not have the wherewithal to deal with complexities, such as when you're very tired during the day, after a day's in the office, you are unwilling to open your mind to alternative possibility. You come at home, you come home from work, and you have a disagreement with your spouse. That's not a good time to have a disagreement because at the end of the day, when people are tired, this is the time where they're likely to latch on to their ideas and freeze on their preconceptions, and rather than being able to clearly and intelligently to examine, weigh the pros and cons in a dispassionate manner. So it has implications for everyday life. It has implications for our life phases. For example, teenagers face a great deal of uncertainty in their transition from childhood to adolescence. And at that point, as we know, they are very committed to one point of view and dismissive of other points of view. In the larger political arena, it's Muslim teenagers and youngsters who are drawn to these fundamentalist ideologies in Europe and elsewhere that promises black and white, good and bad kind of reasoning that is very attractive.
That's Arye Kruglansky, a psychology professor at the University of Maryland in College Park. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's been a pleasure.